Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So we get one more Han Solo with you. And so here's the deal. On my own, on a Friday, it's Epic Friday like we know. So we go full buffet. I mean, that's what we're doing. Open it up, full buffet. It's one of those kind of days in New York. You know, a lot of people might be off. A lot of people might be just kind of out and about. Whatever it is, though, let's get into it. The world of sports is yours. The cornucopia is open. You and I, 800-919-3776. We do have a Knicks game tonight. It's the second, the penultimate game of the regular season in New Orleans. And some news on Zion Williamson for anybody that might care or pay attention to that. We also have for you, finally, the Mets home opener. You get to see the scoreboard I've been bragging about. Like this, it's so stupid how much attention I have paid on this scoreboard. But it's because I have a friend of mine who is like one of the best, like this dude, like electrician's one of the best ever, my man Johnny Shaw. And he was part of the company that completely rebuilt the Citi Field scoreboard. And I wouldn't make a big deal about it, but if you're on your way to Citi, and yes, you're going to have a game today, unlike yesterday, if you're out in the parking lot, wait, no, come in. Take a look at this thing. You could, it's both sides. You probably saw it coming in on the parkway. It's monstrosities. Probably the biggest in the league or one of the biggest in the league. But you have that. You have a weird day weather-wise. I think we're going to have clouds all day. It could be a little windy, but it's not expected to rain. Now, it's supposed to rain. Yes, it didn't rain. And here's the thing. No rain. It was supposed to, like, that. The reason why they postponed the game, and the Yankees too, down in Baltimore, it was because of due to forecasted rain that never came through. And in fact, there was some sun yesterday. It was warm, but the weather was, it's been weird the last couple of days. Did anybody else get this red flag alert on your phone? Did you get a red? I don't know. What does that mean? Because it was really, like, red flag is pretty alarming when you get those. And I was trying to figure out what it means. It's one until 8 o'clock. And it's a severe, significant threat that involves how dry the air is going to be. So be careful out there. I guess it'd be very low humidity, very dry air. And, of course, anytime there's a spark or a flame, that can lead to some very dangerous things. So just keep that in mind. I don't know. That was on my phone. And it's the first thing I'm like, well, I've never seen this. We've seen a lot of different warnings. I've never seen anything like that. That freaked me out. But you got baseball today. You got baseball at Citi Field, finally. And so I don't want to hear anybody complaining about yesterday. We're all going to laugh and make jokes about how they could have gotten the game in. They are relying on meteorology, which we know is an inexact science. Like, honestly, the worst takes in any type of media are probably in meteorology. Would you say? Like, sports takes are really bad. Like, you can have really bad sports takes because either you don't know or you're just taking a guess or whatever it is. But meteorology, you're using science and you swear the science is telling you something and then it doesn't happen. And then you look, like teams look bad. But I don't want to do that because remember, a couple years ago, the Yankees, was it even last year? A couple of years ago, the Yankees had... Was it a playoff game? It was something. I don't think it was the season opener, but I believe it was like a playoff game or something where they refused to postpone the game when we all knew, everybody was telling you, bad weather's coming in, you're not going to get the game in. And they refused to postpone the game. And then everybody shows up and we all talked about how you're paying for parking, you're not getting that money back. You're buying stuff in the stadium and you never get a game. You go home, you got to come back the next day now or you lose your ticket. How many people can do that? So we complained about that. So if you complain about that, you can't complain that you were told way ahead of time, listen, change of plans. I know you expected to come here on Thursday, but you got to come here on Friday instead. We're going to have a big party. And it's going to start our home season. There's no way else to handle this other than how the Mets handle it. So let's not complain about it. The only thing to complain about is, like Dinahan and I were talking about this before the show. If you're facing the stadium, look to your right. There are two quite large tennis stadiums. Both of them have roofs on them, retractable. They figured that out. So if you figure it out, I still think that's something that I can't believe is not common for baseball in the Northeast, but it's just not. So because of it, this is what you're dealing with. Again, 800-919-3776 for you to be part of the conversation. at Bart and Hahn on Twitter and Instagram as well. So Steve Cohen is speaking, or might be speaking right now, or is speaking, has spoken with the media before the home opener, had some interesting things to say. We'll get that up for you momentarily. I'll get Steve Gelb from SNY going to join us here in about 10 minutes to get his take on what he heard and also what's going on with the Mets right now, because what's going on with them is a little bit of frustration. You know, like there's a debate here about both teams that I think is fair to make. And it's such a damn long season that these 1 week in kind of takes tend to get tiresome to me. So give me your tiresome take about the Mets' start to this season, because I'll let you know if I'll accept it or not. 3-4, of course, you want to be like, you wanted to start out 7-0. Everybody, you want to win every game. I get it. Alarming about the fact that, you know, I mean, the offense has had its issues. Alarming that you blew another one in Milwaukee. You gave up a ton of home runs there as well. But really, if you think about it, it's so early. How could you possibly overreact to anything? We do overreaction Monday all the time, but to overreact to this, to me, doesn't make sense. It's a $353 million payroll. It's the highest in baseball. So your expectations are going to be high. Of course they are. But to come out of the gate scorching, why? So you feel better, so you can settle in? It's just not going to happen. Now, here's your two arguments. The one is the pitchers are showing their age. Verlander's not even available yet, and Max Scherzer has not really looked dominant. And Max Scherzer wasn't really happy about his last outing, of course. He got knocked around. 3 home runs, I believe, right? And Verlander, though, this just came out before the show, he does expect to be back by the end of this month, which is not too far away. We're midway through it at this point. We're almost midway. You know, he's got, obviously, you know, this muscle strain. It's allowed him to keep throwing. It's just not allowing him to get starts. And so he's talking about that the pain that he's dealing with, he calls it general soreness, which is one of my favorite phrases of all time. It's like we always have to salute general soreness.
General soreness.
That's right. At your service, sir. But he said it's been dissipating quickly. All positive signs, Verlander said this morning. So I love this line. Really close to being able to take off the leash. So it's just a low-grade muscle strain in his shoulder. And he is working his way back and should be back pretty soon. So you'll have him, Scherzer, again, these older guys, they figure it out. My bigger concern is the offense. It is fair. It is fair to me to look at the offense and ask yourself, this is the same offense. Marte being healthy and back, okay, that's what really was working last year. But the end of last year was leaking oil and sputtered to the finish line with really just Pete Alonso, the only one that showed true power. And in today's game, as you know, you've got to have a little more power and a little more pop in your lineup. What do they have to offer? It's the same team. They brought back most guys. They had to re-sign some guys, obviously Nimmo being one of them. But, you know, we'll keep asking the questions. Is Escobar really the answer at third base? You know, where, you know, again, the questions at the catching position. Nito is going to play today and start a catcher. Vogelbach is your DH, and it was fun last year. But, boy, that went away real quick, right? The fun about him and what he could be. So while you still have Lindor and Alonso, McNeil as a batting champ, like you got those guys, it still makes you wonder, is there enough pop top to bottom in this lineup to be a team that's representative of a $350 million payroll? The highest payroll in the sport. Is that offense kind of indicative of what you're spending? Questions. I just think that's the thing you watch throughout this season. And how do you find upgrades? Where do you find them? Are they in your own organization? Right? Is it Brett Beatty? Is it somebody like a young guy like that give you that little Volpe thing, like that little bit of juice from the organization instead of going outside and spending even more money, bringing on another contract? I don't think Cohen's afraid of spending, but sometimes you just say like, what do you got? What do you got in house that can give you a little juice? We'll see if the Mets can kind of, just being home again and, you know, being in front of their fans, does that kind of spark whatever that we remember from last season? So, again, home opener for the Mets today. First pitch, 1:10. Tyler McGill on the bump for the Mets. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Chris in Wausau. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Alan, how's it going?
Good.
Oh, but listen, it's basically the mess like it always is. You know, early on, we're getting blown out, looking embarrassing. Our old pitchers are getting hurt. Everyone can make fun of the Mets. It's a long season, like you said. We're going to end up, you know, winning 80, 90 games. And then at the end of the season, you know, we'll probably lose in the playoffs embarrassingly. And it'll be the same old Mets like it always is.
Damn. I mean, that's not the most optimistic take there. 80 to 90 games.
Well, you know, I'm just saying, you know, we're going to be good for most of the season. But everyone's going to remember early on when Verlander got hurt again. At the end of the year, when Verlander and Scherzer are worn down yet again.
You sound so I can't believe the pessimism, Chris. Well, what do you want them to do then? Well, what would you rather see?
Because Alan, it's like, you know, it's just, you know, we're relying on two 40-year-old pitchers. We knew we needed more hitting. We got no additional hitting. We brought in an older pitcher to replace a broken-down guy who was younger. It just seems like we didn't do much this offseason. And to be surprised that it's pretty much the same team as last year, I mean, I don't know why anyone's surprised.
Wow. Chris, I'll tell you, thanks for the call. Chris, you didn't bring in an older pitcher, older broken. You brought in the Cy Young Award winner. You brought in Justin Verlander. You brought in a future Hall of Famer. Like, it's not like you just brought in some guy to replace Jacob DeGrom, who didn't want to be here, by the way. No matter what he says, everybody, I'm telling you, he was out last year at this time, mentally already out. He was not coming back. They knew it. He knew it. He had no motivation anymore to play in New York. I was trying to tell you that all last year. So let that go. The DeGrom stuff, whatever he does in Texas, who cares? Let it go. That's one we let get away. Don't get caught up in that. He didn't want to be here. Mark my words. Remember what I'm telling you. If he goes on to have a great season in Texas, do not have any lament. He was leaving. Trust me. So all you did is replace a guy who didn't want to be here anymore, who had started to, again, he's another guy. He's just started to show the wear and tear and break down. And you brought in a guy who won the Cy Young who still had a lot left in the tank. That's what you brought in. You brought in a guy who's a winner. So, okay, shoulder issue to start. You know, they want to just take it slow, take it easy. Of course you do. Why? Because he's so expensive and he's also so valuable. So I would not freak out about the Verlander thing. I'd be a little more concerned about Scherzer because he didn't end the season well either. And then he starts the season with some issues. I thought he loved the pitch clock, but now all of a sudden it's becoming a topic conversation with him. I think he's just a grumpy dude when he's not pitching well, which would you be happy? No, you'd be grumpy too. So, you know, we'll see him in his next start, see if he gets stuff right, and then see how soon Verlander can return. Then you get into the rhythm of the season. It's way too early. I'm sorry. We can do overreaction. It's fine because we're a week in. Overreaction after 1 week. But we all know the conversations in April are not the same conversations in May, and they're not the same conversations in July, and they're definitely not the same conversations in September. They never are. So enjoy the day. Enjoy opening day and hope being the Mets being in front of the home crowd. Just, again, gives them that little sizzle they need. Go off to a little bit of a sluggish start, but you're going up against a Marlins team that you can handle, and you know that. You did already. So we'll see what happens. But you know what else happened last night? 800-919-3776. Because as the spring now we're underway in spring sports, the baseball teams, of course, the winter sports teams are all now heading into the like playoff mode now. And last night, while it's not clinched, the Islanders had a win over the Lightning that was A, unexpected, B, scheduled probably, thanks to the Rangers beating them up the night before. But that's a big win. 6-1, that's a big win. Because now, with three games against three teams that aren't going to make the playoffs, so pretty much they've, like Chris Kenny always said, they shipped the cars. The cars are all now in the shipping containers. They're headed home to their off-season homes, right? That's where these teams are. You know, 3-2-1 Cancun. Right, you're playing against teams like that. And so you've got 6 points on the table, and you get six, you get five of them, you lock a playoff spot. So with that in mind, we'd get, for the first time since I can remember, all five winter teams in the playoffs same time. If you have all five winter teams in the playoffs at the same time, Like you've got to believe somebody's got a chance, right? Like someone has a chance. So this is what we're going to play today. We're going to rank from top to bottom, so best to worst of the five, and we're going to just assume the Islanders are in there, the Devils. We're going to rank that. We're going to say who has the best chance to go far to the least chance to go far in the postseason out of the five teams. All right, we'll get to the calls. 800-919-3776. So right now, as I said, the Mets have their home opener today. Finally, had to wait a day, but that's all right. And Steve Gelb's part of the coverage on SNY, kind enough to give us a few minutes here to discuss that and more. What's up, Gelbsy?
Wait, Alan, before we even get to that, just the answer is the Rangers.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's number one.
Yep.
That's my number
that's
one. All right, but the harder one is number
that's
two.
It.
Harder one's number two.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
All you care about is they are. I'm with you, though. They have all the pieces to do it, and they could, so yeah. We'll see. But I'll see what the callers have to say, see if they want to fight you on it. But all right, so Gelbsy said Rangers, number one, nobody else. He doesn't care about number two. It doesn't matter to him. In the meantime, let's first and foremost, I know Steve Cohen spoke before, and I know you were part of that. We have some of the audio. We'll play a little bit. But since you were there, what's the one thing you took from it like that you felt like was the biggest headline?
You know, I think, listen, he said everything that you'd expect him to say and that he should say right now about the start of the season. Hasn't been ideal, a lot of injuries, but it's seven games out of 162, and he's not too concerned. The point that I thought was worth emphasizing is that he said, you know, if they need to make improvements to this team, they'll do it. So, you know, I think that that's one thing that Mets fans should just really take heart in, the fact that this is an organization that is focused on winning right now, and if this roster, for whatever reason, whether it's injury, underperformance, whatever, is not getting it done, it's not just going to be they throw their hands up and this is what it is. I think if at a certain point they feel like there needs to be some improvements, whether it's internal or external, they'll do everything in their power to make that happen.
Yeah, it seems like he would always be aggressive. This isn't going to be one of those years where it's like, oh, if things don't go well, we'll just tank for a draft pick like in some other leagues.
Right.
But still, the concerns, the two concerns we have gotten so far, and I know we're in 1 week. Now, you know, in football, we do overreaction Monday. Like with the Jets, that's what we always do. But with baseball, you can't, like, it's like one week in. Can we get some time before we really can assess what we see? But what a lot of fans are concerned with are twofold. One, it's the two veteran pitchers that are obviously older guys, and Scherzer hasn't looked great, and Verlander hasn't pitched yet because of the issue in his upper back that he said he's starting to feel better about. Are you more concerned about that or the offense that feels like it's Pete Alonso and a bunch of guys with a pool noodle?
You know, I'm not too concerned with the two guys at the top of the rotation. We heard from Verlander today. He said it's very reasonable to expect that he'll be back before the end of April. I believe him. I also, in seeing Max Scherzer work and think pitching and talk pitching over the last year plus up close and personal now, I have no doubt that he's going to figure it out either. So I think those top two will be fine. There's legitimately some concern, rightfully so, about the lineup. I also think, though, in regards to the lineup, there are some pieces, like we kind of mentioned before, down below that could help sooner rather than later. You know, I think it's clear that Escobar, as popular as he is in that clubhouse, is on a little bit of notice. He didn't play two of the last three games. And I think if they're not getting production from third base, that Brett Beatty is right there and could be a nice spark. And we saw last year with the Braves, so some of these young guys can come up and make these immediate impacts that really change the trajectory. So I'm a little more concerned, I would say, with the depth of the lineup right now. But I do think there's a fix there. To be honest with you, you know, the one thing that I'm watching right now is the rest of the rotation, because I think it kind of got lost in the shuffle this offseason. Everybody talked about, well, they lost DeGrom and replaced him with Verlander. That's kind of a one-to-one, if not maybe a little bit of an improvement based on availability. But people forget how good Chris Bassitt and Taijuan Walker were for this team last year. And it's still very early, but, you know, guys like McGill and Peterson and Senga and Carrasco, like, they're going to have to fill that role. That, to me, is the one that I'd be watching more than anything else right now.
That's great stuff. And first of all, yeah, the Carrasco thing to me is the bigger concern, right? The dip in velocity and whether or not there's anything left there, because that's a huge hole. You know, McGill, he pitched, play, you know, he obviously he pitches today. Like, you know what you're getting out of him, Peterson. Mm-hmm. But Carrasco is somebody that if you lose him, you got to find a starter somewhere. And it's not easy to find a starter.
No, it's not. And he had a really good year last year. People forget. You know, he kind of tired at the end, and that was expected given how little he had pitched in the previous few years. But he was really good for what they needed him to do. And, yeah, you know, I know he said he felt fine after that last start, and the Mets aren't sounding any alarm bells, at least publicly. But, you know, that home run that he gave up was an 89-mile-an-hour fastball. And so, you know, that again, something to watch there, because that is a concerning drop in velocity, especially considering where he started the game, you know, 93. I don't know if he touched 94, but at least 93. To drop 4 miles per hour on the fastball in just a few innings, it's something that is definitely something to watch at minimum and to be concerned about it at maximum.
I liked also that you brought up something that, you know, fans always get caught up in this. And we're talking with Steve Gelbs, SNY, is the Mets opener, first pitch 1:10, of course, this afternoon at Citi Field. The third base situation has been a conversation all offseason, and fans love their own young players. That's all they ever talk about, is bring up the young guys. You said that Cohen wouldn't hesitate to make adjustments, make upgrades, whatever it takes. We know he's all in when it comes to going out and finding players. But that in-house thing is something that does really excite fans. So whether it's at third base or even a catcher, I mean, would you say also, I mean, would Alvarez be somebody as well to talk about?
Well, I mean, he would be. He's up here now with Narvaez, you know, out for what looks like at least the next couple of months. He's not starting today. You know, to be honest with you, Alan, there are four guys that seem like they're on the cusp, four big prospects. You got your Beatties, your Vientos, your Mauricio with what he did this spring, and Alvarez. And in spring training, Alvarez looked like the farthest behind, to be honest with you. So, you know, it's kind of a calling him up out of necessity. But I think he could have used some more time in the minor leagues, especially given the ceiling. You don't want to mess around with a guy like this who really has all the skills to be a top flight catcher for the next 10, 15 years. So for me, listen, he is somebody that if he's right, can add some significant pop to a lineup that's in desperate need of it. But I just worry about rushing him a little too soon here. And listen, again, like I said, they're not playing him. It's going to be really interesting to see how this playing time breaks down, because the one thing you also don't want is for him to just be up here fitting. You want him to keep developing, but it's that, you know, it's that constant mix between exposing a young prospect but not letting him get stale either. So, you know, we'll see. But he's somebody, again, if he is right, then he is a big, big add offensively for this lineup. It's just at this point, he has seemed very, very raw at best.
I just saw again the report of Navarre is out several weeks with the calf issue. All right, so that obviously changes a lot of things at the catcher position, with Nito starting in the game today. All right, Gels, before I let you go, I know you got to get to work. But I've got to ask you about attire, because you know how we are, right, with the jobs that we do. It's always important, the fit for games.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Are we still going SNY golf shirts? Is that what we're doing?
You know, as much as I've been in this job now for 10 years, I still defer to the man. I still defer to Gary Cohen. So whichever way he goes, that's the way I go. Right now, you know, it's opening day. We're not in polos right now. The guys have ties. I'm taking it a little more casually. I've got the open collar, the nice suit jacket with some slacks. But yeah, I mean, listen, when it gets hot, they're going with the SNY polos, and I'm not gonna dispute them on those 95 degree days. The fit is one thing for me; the comfort might be overriding that.
I don't know, man. Bring in some linen; it's very breathable. I'm just saying, you're a handsome guy. Like, you just be your own man. You know, it's all right.
We'll think about it.
Hey, thanks so much. It's always good to talk to you, my man.
All right, brother. Talk to you soon.
Okay, that's Steve Gelbs again on SNY. It's the Mets home opener. First pitch at 1:10. Today, Corona and New York-based artist Sen2 are teaming up this summer to give you a chance to win limited edition apparel from Sen2's Francisco collection. It's the artist tribute to Francisco Lindor. And winning is simple. The more hits and milestones Francisco Lindor achieves, the more apparel you can win. When Francisco reaches 30 bases, The headbands are released. 10 stolen bases. A limited edition backpack is released. So sit back, grab an ice cold Corona, and enjoy the finer life of sports by following Francisco Lindor all season long. When you see the next prizes will be unlocked. To enter for a chance to get your hands on this limited edition apparel, visit coronanybaseball.com.optivate.agency. Did you get all that? And follow instructions to compete, complete, and submit entry form. Live la vida más fina. Relax responsibly. Corona beer, Corona extra beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. The sweepstakes is in no way sponsored, administered, executed, or produced by any MLB entity. Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. All right, 800-919-3776 is the number. We'll get your talk, get your calls as we continue to talk about the Mets. We'll hear from Steve Cohen, the owner, about how he feels about the Yankees and competition with them. Very interesting what he had to say this morning. We'll get into some Knicks as well, the Yankees, and let's power rank them. Five winter teams in New York, all in the postseason. Which one has the best chance to make a run? Which one has no shot at making a run? Let us know.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
I don't know if I said what I was doing yesterday at the end of the show, but the guys here can attest. So I had a wedding to go to last night. Great friend of mine, old friend of mine getting married. Beautiful wife, Rich and Amy. And the party was fantastic. It was great. A lot of fun. But it's early. It was 5 o'clock ceremony. There's no chance of me getting out of Midtown off a 3 o'clock show and getting home suited and booted and to this place in time. So there was like one chance to at least get there for the cocktail hour. And that was to catch the 309 out of Penn Station to Huntington. And so like you got to understand, we got off the air. What time did we get off the air, Ray? It was like 2:56?
About 2:56, yes.
Right. 309, doors close. Track 18, Penn Station, and we're uptown. So it's like my bags were packed as I'm signing off. I don't think I said goodbye to the guys in the control room, and I apologize. I might have just like dapped Ty Butler on the way out. Hurley sees me, right, in the lobby, quick convo, out, down the elevator, across the street, jump on the subway, down to Penn. And I'm looking at my watch, and I'm like, all right, we have a shot. Doors open at Penn. It was 3:08. It was 3:07 and change, like you know, 52, 53. So I'm like, all right, got to hoof it. Off the subway, down the steps. There's track 18, sprinting like OJ. You know the commercial. Old people know it. I'm not the OJ maybe everybody else is thinking of. Not White Bronco. I'm talking about OJ in the... What was it? It was one of the...
Hertz, I think.
It was Hertz, right? Yeah. The rental. Right, he's running through the airport. So I'm doing that. I'm doing the OJ through the airport. Hit the stairs. Down the stairs. And then you hear that sound that you don't want to hear if you're late for a train.
The bing bong?
Yeah. And the doors are closing. And there was a man. Every now and then you need that angel that just suddenly appears for you. And this man just decided he's going to hold the door. So he got in the way of the door to make it open one more time. And he's like, come on. And then somebody at the top of the stairs yells my name like, go get it. Like they It's like one of those surreal moments where you feel like if I face plant right now, this will be all over social media. But luckily, the legs hold up. I get to the door. They close behind me. I must have thanked him a million times. He was like getting tired of me thanking him, I think, because he finally was like, okay, yeah, no, you hustled. You deserved it. And then I'm thanking him again. And he's like, all right. Like he had had enough of the thank. So then I had to go to the back of the train because that's where when I get off, like, you need to be at the back. And so I just let him be and let him have his peace. But that took an effort. And it was just so there's no way I could do it on a daily basis, but I was able to do it there and luckily able to make it to the wedding. So I went to social media to thank, you know, just to, because you always want to pay it forward and you always want to, you know, we always complain. Like I complained to LIRR about the schedule and how it's really messed up everybody who normally uses Penn. We all work. So those of us who work on the west side, like we don't have our trains anymore and you got to keep switching and the trains are overcrowded. So I complained about it. It was funny that LIRR got back to me, which is nice. But still, we complain a lot, but sometimes when good things happen and good people do good things to help you, something small like that, just a good Samaritan just saying, hey, I got you. So you pay that forward. So if I ever see that kind of situation, I'm going to do the same thing. See, we're not all so bad here in New York. It's not all so bad. And this morning I get into the subway to come back uptown. And there was, I put it on Twitter. You could probably see it. There's a video. There's a man who plays in the subway right there in Penn Station. It's the it's the 1, 2, and 3 line. So it's that whole area. And he's got his what are the drums called?
Steel drums?
The steel drums. And he's got just a beat on his boombox and the microphone. The acoustics are incredible. And he's just singing Bob Marley. And it sounds amazing. So I'm recording that. Just like every now and then, the subway's not so bad. That's my story. That's my TED Talk for today. 800-919-3776 is the number. So let's hear from Steve Cohen. Let's hear from the owner of the Mets before the Mets home opener, which is in about a half hour, out at Citi Field. And the start of the season at 3-4, obviously not great. The pitching concerns with some, you know, some guys who are injured, some guys who aren't really pitching, looking out of the gates like they've got it. Offense has been a little sluggish. So what is the owner who spent $350 million on this team feel about the start?
We had a great series in Miami, and then Milwaukee, obviously not as good. It's only 7 games, long way to go. We've got a lot of injuries, and obviously that's a concern. And so we got to get healthy. But, you know, listen, this is a veteran team, a lot of depth. And so, you know, I'm excited by this team, and so we'll see what happens.
Is there enough depth offensively? You heard Gelbsy and I talking before, Steve Gelbs of SNY, and that's what he said. He's just wondering if top to bottom, as I mentioned, is the lineup strong enough? And will they have to make some moves? And, you know, he did say that Cohen did talk about how whatever happens, if things aren't working out, not going to hesitate to do whatever it takes to upgrade the team. It wasn't a great week, obviously, for the Mets, especially that time they spent in Milwaukee. But if you're worth $14 billion, does bad weeks, do they bother you?
That's just the way it is. They're entitled. You know, I mean, I tend to be an optimistic person. And so it's sort of the same way, like in my own business, in the hedge fund business, I'll have a bad week. And it doesn't define my year, doesn't define my month. And so it's kind of the same thing. You know, it's a really small sample. And so it's foolish to make conclusions in such a short period of time.
What do you think a bad week is for managing hedge funds? What would a bad week be? Like, what kind of numbers are we talking about when it's a... What would you consider a bad week when you're managing a hedge fund?
When you have that many billions?
You know what I mean?
It's got to be a couple million.
Couple of million? Or is it like a couple hundred million? Like, what's a bad... I'd love to know any of our brokers out there, any people out there that just, you know the finance business. What's a bad week for someone like Steve Cohen? Because a bad week is, you know, something breaks. One of the appliances breaks and you didn't expect it. Now you got to replace, like the fridge doesn't work anymore. I got to replace that. That's a bad week. That's a big expense you weren't expecting. A bad week is, you know, the car breaks down. You go to the shop and he's like, oh, it's going to take a week. It's going to take at least a week. It's going to cost like, you know, $2,500. You got to wait for the part. That's a bad week. Like, what's a bad week for a guy like Steve Cohen? Anyways, so he has the highest payroll in baseball. The Yankees have the second highest payroll in baseball, and they could be competing for players, which hasn't happened yet, but when Shohei Ohtani becomes a free agent, they will. They're also going to be competing, you would think, this year for a World Series championship. Does he look at the Yankees as competition?
I don't view them as competition. I mean, I don't even think about them. I mean, they're in a different league, and you know, the Yankees are great history and great tradition, and they do what they do, and we're going to develop our own brand, and we have a really good team ourselves, and there's room for two great teams in New York. That's good for baseball, too.
Room for two good teams in baseball. I do think it's good for the sport. Room for good two teams in New York. It is good for the sport. But do you like that answer? Like, is that a passive answer? Is that him saying, I'm not making a headline here? Is that what you want to hear? You don't view them as competition. There's room for two good teams. They have a brand. We're trying to establish who we are. I mean, it's a nice answer. It's a good PR answer. It's a boring answer. But what else is he going to say right now? He's not going to be bombastic. He's not going to start talking his team up. He's going to say that so everything stays calm. One thing we've learned, though, in whispers around the sport in New York, stuff that I've heard, stuff that everybody else has heard too, is that he's really not interested in that, you know, head-to-head thing. He's not interested in going at them. Like, remember a couple, like 10 years ago, the other time the Nets tried to take over the city. They put up the billboard, right? It was Jay-Z and company. It was like the takeover, whatever it was supposed to be, whatever they were going to call that. Like that, you know, that stuff to me, it's never going to work. It's never the right approach. What Cohen is doing is probably the right thing to say. It's like, yeah, you know, we got to do our thing. We'll get there. You know, they've got their brand. Like, that's probably the best way to go. Yeah, this is what Mikhail Prokhorov, the previous owner, when they moved the team from New Jersey to Brooklyn. Remember when he had this to say?
We're going to turn Knicks fans into Nets fans.
How'd that work out? It didn't. Says that stuff. It makes great headlines. It's fun. But, you know, remember, you know, KD, the Knicks aren't cool. Like the vibe in Brooklyn. That vibe didn't last. Didn't like it anymore. I like the vibe in Brooklyn a lot better now, to be honest with you. They're going to be the sixth seed. They're going to be the sixth seed. It's a real thing. So I like what Cohen said. It's the right thing. It's just not fun. It's way more fun if he just started saying stuff like, I don't count the Yankees. They're no competition to us. I'll outspend them. I can outspend them. We're the new team now. Like, you'd love that because it's fun and it creates all kinds of drama, gets fans all fired up. But history shows you will eat your words. Justin Verlander, for those who might be concerned about him and his availability, he had an update on his status with that upper back, that back shoulder injury that has kept him out for the start of the season.
Progressing well. Feel like I really turned a corner a couple days ago. The kind of general soreness that I was having is really dissipating quickly. You know, so just kind of, you know, all positive signs, just waiting for that to really completely go away before I step on the gas. But I've been able to keep throwing and also increase my intensity of throwing up to like 75%. So just kind of hovering at that level for, I can't give you an exact date, but I feel like I'm really close to being able to, you know, take the leash off and start getting after it and build up. And thankfully, being able to continue to throw, hopefully that buildup is not that long, you know, as opposed to being shut down for a couple weeks. Keeping the shoulder moving and being able to stay at that threshold is a big benefit in these situations.
Let me tell you something, Mets fans, have no concern. This guy wants to pitch. This guy can pitch. This guy's not breaking down. He's not falling apart. He's not at the end. I mean, he certainly isn't at the beginning. He's not in the middle. But this is not like, you know, there's nothing left. This guy was a Cy Young winner last year. All right, this is a little setback, but you don't worry about guys like him, obsessive with pitching. Scherzer, obsessive with pitching. You are all set there. It's later on in the rotation, especially Carrasco. That's what you should be worried about, the depth of your starting pitching. But not these two. These two are not your problem. Depth of your rotation, depth of your lineup for a team that you spent $353 million. And depth is your concern. It means you got a lot going on at the very top. You shouldn't worry about the guys at the top. It's the depth that they have to continue to focus on, and that's where they're going to probably have to spend at some point throughout the season.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
If you're a Knicks fan, you'd be disgusted. It's like, God, I had to know this was coming. But as we've been talking about, so the Knicks own their pick because of the Porzingis trade, right? And it's the last part of the Porzingis trade is that pick. And it's top 10 protected. And so they just announced they play tonight against the Bulls. And the Bulls, if I'm not mistaken, and the Mavericks are both, and this is all happening just at real time, like as we're getting on the air. So I'm, bear with me as I just check standings real quick. But the Bulls and the Mavericks, I believe, yes, are both tied for the 10th pick in the lottery, which means Dallas would keep the pick. Now, the tiebreaker, of course, would be something that they would have to go to. And then if they fall to 11th, the Knicks get the pick. So it still would be there. So there still is that chance, right? So they play the Bulls. Here's the thing. So the Mavs just announced that Kyrie Irving, right foot injury recovery, Josh Green, rest. It's game, what is it now? Game 80? 81? Tim Hardaway Jr., left ankle soreness. Maxi Kleber, right hamstring injury recovery. Christian Wood, rest. All missing the game tonight against the Bulls. So, again, they're on the, they're not like eliminated from this. They're in the play-in game. Like, they're there on the edge of play-in possibilities. So, this notion, the play-in was supposed to create this idea of teams that still have something to compete with. They are a half game back of the 10th play-in spot. But rather than compete for the play-in, they instead are tanking for a top 10 pick so that they keep their pick. Luka Doncic, by the way, is probable with misery. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Bobby Marks saying a loss means Dallas is eliminated. It's amazing. And if they end up tied with the Bulls, they do the tie-breaking scenarios right before the lottery. And, you know, karma could work and end up like, and if you're the league, you hate this. This looks terrible if you're the league. What an awful scenario this is. Now, taking the blue and orange glasses off here a moment, I don't blame Mark Cuban and the Mavericks. I don't blame them. This has been a disastrous season. They get into the 7-10. The team looks like they're going nowhere. They would end up playing like Minnesota, possibly, and they'd get their doors blown off. So you'd get out, and then you wouldn't have a pick. You'd have no pick. So instead, you just play what's best for my business, and what's best for my business is to realize what the season is and shut it down and get myself a top 10 pick. But if you're Adam Silver and company, you're looking at this like this is the worst-case scenario. I mean, we got to have teams that are playing for something, and the whole idea of adding four more spots to compete or two more spots to compete for the last two spots for the playoffs, the whole idea was to create this idea that you don't need to tank, that you don't want to tank, because it's better for my team to be in the postseason. The Dallas Mavericks were in the Western Conference Finals last year. They made a run last year. Luka Doncic is one of the top stars, top young stars in the game. And you're so bad and he's so miserable that you realize the best thing for us to do is to pull the plug. That's it. Is just kind of just let it bleed out and move on. That's what it looks like they're going to do. So we still have to watch and see what happens. And, you know, does Chicago, who actually is going to play in the play-in, that's the amazing thing, is they're going to play in the play-in. They've already clinched that. They're going to be the 10th. So for the Bulls, this game doesn't mean anything really either. And you wonder, how do the Bulls play this now? Because the Bulls want that, would probably like to have a top 10 pick. So what do? Strategies. Strategies on meaningless games. Meaningless games like last night, Denver playing no one, none of their starters, and they still took the Suns, who were playing everybody, including Kevin Durant, took them right to the limit. How does that happen? Just the NBA at this time of year. It's like the weird part of the season where so many teams are like, can we just get to the postseason now? Let's just get to the postseason. But this Dallas stuff, man, head shaking. And when you see it, it's kind of disgusting. But it's a reality. So let's watch and see what happens now tonight.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.